Earlier this month, I had an amazing opportunity to go out to Colorado for a week, for most of a week, to go to a youth ministry retreat hosted by Christ in Youth. While I was there, we were up on a mountain outside of Colorado Springs at 9,100 feet elevation. And let me tell you this, if you are not in shape, being at 9,100 feet elevation, it gets a little tough to breathe as you start, especially when you go hiking or you're walking up hills very much. But man, was it beautiful. This was actually the view from where we were staying. It was a place called Bear Trap Ranch, in just outside of Colorado Springs. This year, the theme of the retreat was simply this: your struggles. And I have to tell you, it was heartbreaking as I heard people's stories that they shared with us. We were there each morning and each evening. Some of the leaders of the retreat would get up and would share one of the struggles that they have in their life or that they've dealt with. One guy talked about his baby boy and how shortly after he was born, his mother-in-law was holding him and said, "Guys, come here." And as they looked at him, mother-in-law pointed out how one of his eyes was completely dilated and the other was not. It took them months before they could figure out what was going on, and come to find out, their son had a brain tumor. Not only that, because of the brain tumor, he was blind. Another guy shared about how it had always been his dream to plant a church. And he was given the opportunity, and as they were planning and starting this church, things were going great. But 2 years into it, finances became tough, and this dream of his was shattered as they closed the doors. And he wondered where his place was in the kingdom that this dream of his had all of a sudden become shattered. We also talked. We had smaller groups that we had time with each evening. And in just my group, had a guy that I've known for years now share about at his church how his senior minister flat out told him, "I plan on being here 3 more years. My daughter's a sophomore. When she graduates high school, basically I'm done here at the church." He hasn't told this with anyone else in the church. But while he is planning on being there for another 3 years, the senior minister has essentially checked out. All he does is get up and preach on a Sunday morning. Doesn't even come into the office or do anything else. And while he is basically the youth minister is left to lead the entire congregation. Another guy shared about his struggle, how just in the last year, God called him into to another church, into another ministry. But he's hurting so bad for people at the church that he had been at for 8 years. Because the senior minister, who was his best friend at that church, his 16-year-old daughter died in a car accident. And he struggled about not being able to be there with all of those people that he had shared life with for 8 years and to really be there for his best friend from there because he had taken this opportunity at another church. Another guy in my group shared about how a couple years ago, he was one of 5 people who were kind of a whistleblower at their church. that they had caught that their senior minister was having an affair with someone else at the church. And so he and four other people were the ones that brought this to light. The senior minister refused to resign, didn't see the wrong in which he had done. And then there was a group of people that sided with the senior minister and basically did everything they could to try to get the youth minister fired for bringing to light that the senior minister had had an affair. Now, thankfully, I can say I have not had some of the struggles that other people have had. Not to say that I won't in the future. But I've had my own struggles. Before coming here, I was at a church that was very toxic. That did have people that were out to get both the senior minister and myself fired and out of there. You know, it's never a good thing when you have open board meetings and you have about 80 people from the church of about 120 come to the board meeting. But aside from that, I struggle with self-image, with my weight. I struggle with health issues, with diabetes that I have an extremely hard time controlling, and a lot of it is my own fault. Believe it or not, I struggle with self-confidence. I doubt myself. I often doubt the person that God has called me to be. You guys, here's the thing. We all have struggles in this life. We all have struggles that bring us down. Maybe it's our self-image. Maybe it's a lack of confidence. Maybe it's that you've been laid off from work, or that there's drama at work. Or maybe you just downright hate your job. Maybe you're dealing with an illness or someone in your family who has an illness. Maybe it's cancer, or maybe it's something else. Or maybe just your health right now is just plain failing you. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you're failing your history class right now or one of your other classes at school. Maybe as you look at the things that have been going on in our country and you see how divisive our country is right now, it just breaks your heart and it weighs you down. We all have struggles of some sort or other in our life. But I have to tell you this, I am so glad that we have God's word to rest upon, to help us through these times of struggle. As Jesus was getting ready to kind of wrap up his ministry here on the earth, he started making preparations for the task that was ahead. To prepare himself for what he knew was coming, but not just himself, but to prepare his disciples for his departure. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what would have been going through their minds. I mean, here are guys who had left everything that they had. Some of them were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. Simon was most likely heavily involved in politics. And some left what most likely were very lucrative careers to go and follow this man, Jesus. A man who would say he had no place to lie his head. They had dedicated the last 3 years of their life to following him, to serving him, to learning from him. And now, however, Jesus is telling them that he's going to leave them. But Jesus takes the time to try and comfort his disciples. As a matter of fact, he tells them the very reason he's warned them about what is about to happen, about what is to come, is so that they may find peace. peace. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Do you catch that? Peace comes because Christ overcomes. Jesus is upfront and honest with his disciples. He doesn't tiptoe around anything. You are going to have troubles in this life. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is no avoiding it. And the reality of it is that some people will struggle more than others. And we'll all have times in our lives where we struggle more than at other times. But Jesus gives us hope to get through the struggle. He tells us to take heart because he has overcome the world. That peace comes because Christ overcomes. And while the disciples heard Jesus speak these words, it took a while before they really took them to heart. Wasn't much longer after Jesus spoke these words that he was arrested, he was nailed to a cross, and crucified. He was laid in a grave. After his resurrection, where do we find his disciples? They're locked up in a room, afraid of the Jewish leaders, of what they would do to them, that they would do to them what had just happened to Jesus. Now, I know it's Halloween time, and we're about ready to see a bunch of ghosts and goblins as we come up on Halloween here. But Jesus here pulls, like, the ultimate ghost trick. Mind you, again, they're locked up in this room. And here's what John records for us. He says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. Okay, they locked the doors so no one could get in, and what does Jesus do? Boom. He appears and stands among them. And then he said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So what is the first thing Jesus tells them when he appears to them after his resurrection? Peace be with you. Jesus has literally just overcome death. He has overcome paying the price for the sins of the world. And twice, he immediately reminds his disciples to have peace. They don't need to be afraid of the Jewish leaders. As a matter of fact, Jesus is now sending them out among the Jewish leaders and the rest of the world. And it is okay to face the trials and the struggles and the things that make them afraid in this world because they are going with Jesus. And Jesus has overcome the world. Peace comes because Christ overcomes. And what is amazing to me is that same message that Jesus had for the disciples 2,000 years ago applies to us and our struggles still today. Are you struggling? with your self-image? Remember that Jesus overcomes the world's standards of beauty. And that God has created you in His image. And you can have peace in knowing who you are and where your identity lies, and that you are the person that God has created you to be when Christ is in your life, because He's overcome that. Do you struggle with self-confidence? Remember that Jesus has overcome the world's doubts. That you can go out just as Jesus sent His disciples out. He is sending you out and He is with you. And you can have confidence because Christ has overcome and you go with Christ. When you're dealing with work issues, remember that Jesus overcame co-workers arguing over who would sit at His right hand in heaven. And He overcame a man who betrayed Him to be executed for 30 pieces of silver. And if He can do that, Jesus can overcome the drama that's going on at your workplace, the late nights of work, or the lack of work that you may be facing. Are you dealing with health issues? Jesus will help you find peace in this struggle. Remember that He overcame death. And while time and time again He brought healing to the masses, He may or may not do that for you. But you can have peace as you fight. In knowing that while you may or may not overcome the physical ailment that you're dealing with currently, you have the hope that one day you will never have to deal with pain or sickness again. You have that hope because Christ has overcome. When your marriage or other family relationships seem to be falling apart, you can find peace in knowing that you are a part of the bride of Christ. And you are a part of a marriage that will last into eternity. A marriage to Christ that will never fail you, that will never disappoint you. And to a man who so passionately loves you, He gave up His life for you. Don't know how you're going to pass this class this semester? Continue to work hard. Find peace that through your failing of this class or whatever it may be, that Christ may be working to teach you something new through this struggle. Or maybe through a different teacher with the same class next semester. Are you disheartened by the divisiveness in our country? Find peace in knowing that you are a part of a kingdom of peace and of unity. That you are a part of God's kingdom. A kingdom that you can be a part of because Christ has overcome the world. Peace comes because Christ overcomes. I want you to imagine for a moment if we really took to heart Paul's words to the Colossians. He says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Imagine if we really took those words to heart, that we took Christ's words to heart, to let peace rule in our lives. Our worry, our anxiety would decrease. Because we can have peace because we know he has overcome all that we face. We would find a joy that only the peace that Christ gives can bring about. We would live lives of thanksgiving for what God has done for us through Christ. The world would once again see us for what we stand for and not what we are against. But before any of this can happen, we must let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So often, and I'm just as guilty of this, we look around at our struggle and we wonder how. A few years ago, Kathy and I, it seemed like one thing was right after another. From Kathy's mom having knee replacement surgery and over the course of that getting blood clots and us almost losing her due to those blood clots, to shortly after that her mom being diagnosed with breast cancer. Wasn't too long after that that her grandfather passed away. We dealt with Maddie being born and 3 months old, she having to spend a week in the hospital due to having RSV. And it was just one thing after another seemed to be happening. And we just kept saying, we hope it gets better. And time and time again, it didn't seem like it was. And what we had to do is we had to rest upon our Savior. Because it seemed to be the only peace we could find. And it's because the peace comes because Christ has already overcome. So as you look at the struggles in your life, whatever it is that you're facing, remember that when you are in Christ, he's overcome. There's still going to be pain. He promises that. You're going to have troubles. But you can get through it. And you will get through it when you rely on him. When you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for overcoming. God, I pray that you be with each one of us. May we be open to really letting you into our hearts, to rule in our hearts, so that we can find peace. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. One of the things that was amazing about the retreat that I was at is I think there's nothing better, you can probably disagree with me, but there's nothing better than the sound of about 80 men together worshiping God. And one of the songs that we sang two or three times while I was there is we dealt with this theme and this idea of struggle. It was a song, "It Is Well." That it's well with my soul because of what Christ has done for me. And it can be well with your soul because of what Christ does for you. Here in a minute, we're going to sing that song. And maybe you have never experienced the peace that comes from Christ overcoming in your life. You've never accepted Him as Savior, and you don't have that peace. We want to encourage you to come forward. We want to talk with you about what that really means and what the next steps are for you.